Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the cardinal virtues discussed in Plato's Republic, Book 4, is translated as temperance. It's called sophrosune in the Greek, so sometimes moderation. There's a number of other ways that we can render it. And it's not only discussed in Republic, Book 4, it's also discussed in other places, for example, the dialogue, the Charmides. Here we're going to focus just on this particular treatment. And when we look at the three virtues that Plato says function within the soul and function within the city in terms of the parts of the city, and thereby form, you might say, the components or the conditions for the fourth virtue of justice, temperance is a little bit different than the others. How so? Well, we have to ask ourselves a question whenever we're thinking of the Platonic psychology. Where is something located, right? So what part of the city or what part of the soul needs to be temperate? And unlike wisdom, unlike courage, Plato says the entire city needs it. They may not need it in exactly the same way or in exactly the same degree, but they all do in fact require it in order to do their own job well and not interfere with other people's jobs, and in order for the entire city to be one cohesive functioning unity, which is better for everybody within the city. So as opposed to like courage, which doesn't need to be possessed by the ordinary person on the street, the craftsperson, as Plato will call him, all parts of the city, the guardians, the ordinary people, the craftspeople, and the soldiers, or the lesser guardians, auxiliaries, all of them need to be temperate. All of them need to be sophron in Greek. And he talks about this as being a kind of harmony or concord between the parts. There are some musical analogies going on that are very clearly intended by Plato. He also uses the term order or orderliness. And the Greek term that he uses there that we translate is kosmos, which is quite interesting. Because, you know, we think of, oh, cosmos, that's the universe, right? For the Greeks, cosmos is universe insofar as it's not just a crazy mess out there, but is ordered. And kosmos also has the connotation of a kind of beauty, a proportionality, things all being in their place, if they are dynamic rather than static, functioning the way that they ought to. So the sophron person, the temperate person, is in a certain respect a beautiful person insofar as their soul is ordered properly. So there is this harmony going on. And Plato will bring up the issue of another closely related term, self-mastery. In Greek, enkrateia, often opposed to akrasia. And akrasia, which Socrates has a rather unusual view on, which we're not going to go into, akrasia is when we know what the good thing is, but we don't do it, or we know what the bad thing is, and we do it. Self-mastery, enkrateia, is when we know what the good thing is, and we make ourselves do it, even though we might be tempted or impelled, or all sorts of other inducements may be brought on us to do something different. We force ourselves to do that. And Plato says, well, you know, this is kind of a silly thing. He's joking around a little bit here. At first, he says that the phrase master of ourself is an absurdity. He who is master of himself would also be subject to himself, and he who is subject to himself would be master. The same person is spoken of in all these expressions. And then he says, how can we understand this properly? Well, the self must have parts. The soul must be divided into different things that have different functions and can be in accord with each other or discording or in conflict with each other. So he also says this only makes sense if we can think of some of these parts as being higher or lower or worse and better. And within his city, there is indeed a hierarchy with the wisdom holding and exercising guardians at the top, a very small class, who, you know, have to go through a very rigorous education in order to get there. Nobody is forcing them to, you know, join that. As a matter of fact, some of them may wash out. And then we have the larger class of the guardians, the soldiers, the ones who protect. And then we have the much, much larger class of the those who are producers, those who actually get to enjoy a higher standard of living in certain respects materially than either of the higher classes, and they are in some respect, you know, lower or worse. Now, what does temperance actually deal with? It doesn't deal with fear. That's courage's domain, right? As a matter of fact, it doesn't even really deal with, like, say, curiosity, which presumably would fall within the realm of wisdom. It deals with things that the Greeks called appetites or desires, epithumiae, and these are appetites or desires generally for bodily things like avoiding pain, right? Avoiding toil, enjoying, here's the other thing, pleasures, bodily pleasures like eating, and having intoxicants of different sorts. They really just had wine as the main thing. So they talk about drinking, and they presumably mean drinking wine, but also thirst, satisfying that. But we could think of all sorts of other things. People who really like the way that the fabric that they wear feels, and they have to be dressed in satin, or, you know, have satin sheets or something like that. Sexual desire and sexual pleasures fit in there as well, and we might think of all sorts of other things. Temperance deals with those. Temperance involves self-mastery, remaining in control when it comes to those pleasures and desires. So the higher part remains in charge, telling the lower part what to do, and the lower part actually can obey it. Interestingly, at another point, in talking about the desires or epithumiae themselves, Plato will tell us, and I think he's completely correct in this, that they cannot set limits on themselves. We've all had this experience of eating something at one point in time and starting to mindlessly eat it and wanting more and more of it. You know, for example, people do this with bags of chips, or as they're called in other places, crisps, right? And you just kind of start eating, mowing down on them, as we say. And, you know, you finish up the bag and you're like, I want more. That's your appetite. And hopefully you have another part of yourself that's saying, hey, you ate too many chips, knock it off, right? And then the other part of yourself says, yeah, reason is telling me this. Don't go and grab another bag of chips. But your appetites, let them alone. They'll be like, another bag of chips? That sounds like a great idea. So the appetites can't control themselves. And if they're not restrained, if they're not restricted, they will grow larger and larger and larger. And this can be a fundamental problem leading to intemperance as the vice corresponding to the virtue of temperance. Now, Plato also makes a distinction here between not just the amount of desire or the amount of pleasure or the action that you engage in, but what you can call the pleasures and desires of the base, the lower, the shameful. This is a Greek term meaning the non-noble, the non-fine. And he says that we have a mob of motley appetites and pleasures and pains. And he says something, you know, a little bit out of character here. One would find chiefly in children and women and slaves and in the base rabble of those who are free men in name. And you might say, well, isn't Plato, you know, doesn't he think that women and men are basically the same when it comes to parts of the soul? Yes, but he's also talking about ancient Greek culture where that's not being acknowledged. So generally, the things that women and children and slaves would indulge in would be seen as sort of lower class shameful pleasures, and they wouldn't be enjoying the higher things. Likewise, he talks about the rabble of people who are called free, but only in name. They're not really free because they don't have self-control. They don't master their desires. Instead, they run around chasing everything. So we can think about all sorts of things in our own society. Take away women and children from it and just think about it in terms of higher and lower pleasures. Does everybody appreciate good food? No, there's probably more people out there who stuff their face with junk food, even though if you actually spend some time like stripping that away and then eating actual whole food or well-prepared food or healthy food, and you come back to the junk food, you'll be like, oh, this isn't very good at all. But, you know, when that's what you're used to, it's hard to appreciate the better food. We can say that the popularity of junk food doesn't make it, or fast food doesn't actually make it better. As a matter of fact, it's almost designed to make people worse, not just bodily, but in terms of their appetites and what they take pleasure in. So Plato is distinguishing between these lower pleasures, these more base pleasures, and what he calls the simple, moderate appetites of the better. And so temperance would steer us away from those and towards better things. So if we think about consuming alcohol, I'll give you a prime example because I don't drink beer much anymore, but I certainly have done plenty in my life, and almost a patriotic duty as a resident of the great state of Wisconsin, having grown up here. I used to brew my own beer as well. And I know that, you know, when I was younger, like in high school and college, we would drink whatever the cheapest stuff we could find was. And it wasn't very good, but, you know, it was okay, right? And sometimes people get very, very drunk because there's not much to actually taste there. And then I discovered we have one of the oldest craft brewing breweries here in this area, the Sprecher Brewery. And I discovered that stuff. And then, I was overseas in Germany, and I got to drink good beer all the time as a soldier stationed there. And when I came back, I was like, who wants to drink this crap? You know, I guess if I'm, you know, at a party or something and that's all that's available, I'll drink it. But man, try this stuff over here. Way better. You don't need to drink as much of it because there's actually more taste, more complexity, more interesting stuff, right? It's still indulging in the same modality, beer, right? Which is there for the taste. Also, it's satisfying a thirst, although it makes you thirsty. And it's alcoholic, so there's the intoxication. But there's a better and a worse, right? And so that's sort of what Plato's talking about here. The last thing that I want to bring up in this is he talks about the need to have a harmony that's almost like a song. There's an analogy going on here. And it's very nice what he says. He says that the operation of temperance is unlike that of courage and wisdom, which residing in separate parts made the city, one of them wise and the other brave. That's not the way of temperance or soberness. It extends literally through the entire gamut throughout, bringing about the unison in the same chant of the strongest, the weakest, and the intermediate, whether in wisdom or, if you please, in strength or, for that matter, in numbers, wealth, or any similar criterion. We should be right in affirming this unanimity to be a temperance, the concord of the naturally superior and inferior as to which ought to rule both in the state and in the individual. So this concord, this, you know, being unified, being on the literally the same page is integral to this virtue of temperance. And that, so it has to run throughout the entire soul, but it really bears upon the lowest part of the soul where we find these appetites for bodily pleasures and to avoid bodily pains. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.